Thank you. Hey, good morning, brother and sisters. I'm Chanqi, Shang Chanqi, you can call me Chichi. And I am serving at the TLOL, the Light of Life Ministry now. And my wife and me, Zhejiang, and Joy Zhao, we are studying in the LBC, the Lancaster Bible College now. And I thank God and thank Pastor Tom for his invitation. And may God bless all of you to give this the opportunity to share the information. Okay, let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, I thank you for using me to share the following information in English today. May you lead me and let the Holy Spirit help us understand your truth. Pray in Jesus' name, amen. The Gospel of John was written to the Jews and the Gentiles who believed in the Judaism at this time, in order to let them know that Jesus Christ was the Messiah who Israel has been waiting for. Moreover, John also emphasized that the Messiah was not only the glorious King of Kings, but also the suffering Son of Man. Many Israelites believe the Messiah is just a powerful human being, a prophet and a king who can lead them to build a powerful country by snobbery and talent. A country that will never be enslaved. However, the real kingdom of God was built by the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and willing to give up his own life for the God's will. The scripture we are studying with you today is John 12, 19 to 26, as the scripture on the wall. I hope that the Holy Spirit will help us to understand the revelation of this scripture about the kingdom of God. On the first day, when Jesus entered Jerusalem, when the Pharisees saw everyone goes to meet Jesus, they said, "See, this is getting us nowhere. Look how the whole world has gone after him." In their minds, people follow Jesus to make their work nowhere. Absolutely. What they did was in conflict with what Jesus did. According to the John chapter 11, 48, we can know that the Pharisees believe that when people trust Jesus Christ, the Romans will take away their land and the people. They are very worried about it. It seems that it is very caring. And it is the responsibility of leaders to care for their own country and people. Yeah, it seems like. But in fact, it's not the case. If you continue to read John chapter 11, 53, you will find that they set up the kingdom of God according to their own wishes. They denied Jesus Christ in order to protect their own interests, and even preferred to kill Jesus Christ, who a completely sinless and holy God. The benefits, they said, is to keep the present state form for them, themselves. It seems that a lot of those has been put into the kingdom of God. But it is in vain. It is in vain. Some Pharisees regard religious form as a tool to gain fame and interest. And they don't care about God's mind or other people's needs. in the Bible. They call this kind of behavior is hypocrisy. By writing this, John challenged the readers' thoughts. John hoped that they would accept the Son of Man's establishment of God's kingdom on the earth in such a painful way. We should not live in vain in the world according to our own wishes. As a Christian, we should be careful. This mistake of emphasis is to ignore the purpose of obeying the law. That is, to love God and love each other. The purpose of building a church is to love God and love each other. A church that can be built on Jesus Christ will become a channel for blessing people, making people love the Lord more and be willing to be close to the Lord, so that they can be treated as gold, silver, and a costly stone. Don't just let others think, well, we're good men, we're godly person, not only, but also let others feel real love from God through us. We can continue read the verse 20 to 23. Now, there were some Greeks among those who went up the worship at the festival. They came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee, with a request. Sir, they said, we would like to see Jesus. Philip went to tell Andrew. Andrew and Philip in turn told Jesus. Jesus replied, the honor has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. And here, Greeks represent Gentiles. They may come to Jesus because they want to learn more about Jesus' teaching in Greek, the language Greek. To see Jesus in this chapter, in this scripture, means to talk with Jesus. They may be attracted by what Jesus did before and want to know more about Jesus' teaching. They really want to know more about Jesus Christ. There is no record here whether Jesus promised the Greeks' requests. The reason why John, the author of this book, did not record this, maybe because John wanted to make a comparison here. What comparison here? Israel's religious leader refusing Jesus Christ. However, the Gentiles wanted to seek in Jesus Christ. It's really different. In verse 23, the proclamation of Jesus Christ's response to this them, through Jesus Christ, God's people will be called to God from all nations. This is not a promise since Jesus Christ came to this world, but a them that has never changed in the Bible. Since Abraham was called, God promised Abraham that all nations will be blessed by Abraham. Because God would bless all nations and families from Israel. In verse 23, Jesus said, the honor has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Which means it's time to Jesus to cross. Through this comparison, the author John wanted to tell the readers that the Jewish community was chosen for the purpose of making all the people receive God's blessing. The same is true of Christ's identity. We are not only the recipients of God's blessing, but also the heritors. We need to know what the city, and the community we live in. Maybe the county, maybe city, boundary, and another area. We need to be the way for them to be blessed by God. People in this world are cared for by Christians. Give them really helps, just like greeting, hey, my name is what? How are you? And give the support by foods, money, caring. It's really help. And hear the precious gospel from the Christian. It's very, very precious gift. These are all things we should do. As the Matthew 5:16 said, in the same way, let your light shine before others, that we may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. This is a purpose. The verse 24 to 26. Very truly, I tell you, unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds. Anyone who loves their life will lose it, while anyone who hates their life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, my servant also will be. My Father will honor the one who serves me. And here, a kernel of wheat here referred to Jesus Christ. The death of wheat to Jesus Christ was crucified to save a people of this world. Many of these seeds produced are those who trust in Jesus Christ. Because of the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, thus they trust in Jesus Christ and thus are saved. We have a chance to be saved because what? Because Jesus obeyed the Father's will and gave his life for us. Beyond that, Jesus said that if we want to seek life, we must also give up our own lives, live out of obedience. It doesn't not mean to commit suicide. It's not this mean. But the willingness to obey God's will and give up our own interests. In verse 26, where I am, in verse 26, where I am, my servant also will be. So where is Jesus in this chapter? Jerusalem? Is that mean? No. It is not that we should leave Baltimore to serve in Jerusalem. No. From this above content, we can know that what Jesus said is he himself is walking on the road of giving up his life for others according to the will of the Father. Jesus said that such a person is honored by the Father. From this, we can see how much our Father values those who are willing to give up his life to follow him. For us, Christians, each of us is wheat produced because of Jesus, the kernel of wheat that died. We should also imitate our Lord. No matter where this kernel of wheat falls, it shall fall into the ground and die. We must die to our own lusts and follow the Lord in order to have eternal life. So that we can influence the lives of others and become a blessing to all people, all nations. The ministry we're serving now, TLOL, the Light of Life, is looking forward to becoming a church following this example. We hope may God help us and help more the student. We have seen Chinese students and scholars drifting around this world to the environment when they come to America to study in the university and the graduation and the work. We try to guide them and let the Holy Spirit cultivate them to become willing to die. With the seeds of the gospel and fall in every corner of this world, we hope they become a blessing to all people. Maybe they cannot stay in our church and continue to support us to make us become a large church with a large population. No. But we hope that those kernels of wheat will fall to the ground and die wherever they go, to build the kingdom of God and bear more seeds with abundant life. May God help and lead the Light of Life to do the work of gold, silver, and the cast stone, which would be remembered in eternal life. Thank you.
Thank you, Church. I'm Yu Ke. I'm Jesus' wife. And today I'm here to share my personal testimony with you. The vision of the Light of Life is aimed to serve Chinese students and visiting scholars. I came to the United States as an international student majoring in finance. This major makes up a high proportion of international students coming to the United States, so my case is rather typical. Today, I want to share my experience of how I came from unbelief to believing the Lord and how I grew in discipleship trainings of Life Fellowship and the Light of Life. When I came to the States in the summer of 2016, I didn't get in touch with the church at all. But on the day of the Life Fellowship orientation party, the Lord arranged for Chichi and Pastor Huang's wife to come to my apartment, help other students to move furniture. Then I got an invitation. Although I don't like to socialize or play games, their sharing and the questions raised by the short film have made me think. So when we could ask questions, my question is, what is sin? After hearing the gospel for the first time, I did not accept it. I had some concerns at the time. First of all, the things I had heard about the church made me defensive. Secondly, I was a STEM student and I held many conflicting ideas. My mother taught me since I was young that I should believe in things that can be proven by experiment. I should believe in science. So I don't know whether Christianity is like Buddhism, Confucianism, or Taoism in China, peddling flawed half-truth. With two patients in the family, I started to think about what life is, what death means from a young age. What is the meaning of everything we do? At that time, my studies were hard because Cary Business School was a one-year program, but I didn't think it was meaningful. I looked at the formula, data, cash flow on the courseware and thought if it had anything to do with my life. The gospel I heard that day gave me the answer to all of this. Although I was not sure whether it was the truth or not, it was the first clear, solid, tangible answer I got. The gospel is the power of God. At the moment I heard it, I knew deep down that it was truth, but my stubborn rebellion made me hesitate. Then God used my brothers and sisters to lead me learn more about the gospel. Eventually, I accepted the Lord Jesus as my savior. Soon after, I started discipleship training programs. On Tuesday, we had courses on new life and new living, evangelism explosion, men are from Mars, women are from Venus, and dating according to the Bible. In the book club on Thursday, we read about purpose-driven life, interpersonal relationships, counterfeit gods, every good endeavor. In Sunday school, I took fundamental truth, introductions to the Old Testament and New Testament, step-by-step learning about Job, the Alpha course. I got rides to fellowship, worship, and all other activities every week, which means four times a week. The brothers and sisters in the life fellowship influenced me with their life closely following Christ and showed me that these studies were actually necessary. And it was the process by which God shaped my life. Little by little, God taught me how to deal with my schoolwork, how to get along with my parents, how to be a wife, and how to be a mother. The reasons why I aim to serve Chinese students and scholars are as follows. First, I walked in their shoes. When the Christian faith answered the long-standing questions in my life, the joy and peace in my heart is hard to describe in words. There is an old saying in Chinese said that it's fine to die tonight if I could hear the truth today. This was how I felt at the time. I found the Lord of life and I can trust him. Like me, Chinese students and scholars with similar educational backgrounds should have these questions. I am willing to share with them the Lord who gives me life and peace. Second, my Chinese is much better than English. This is a gift from God, and I think I should use it well. Third, in the past few years of becoming a Christian, I have realized the importance of discipleship training. My husband and I are willing to offer ourselves to this cause. The fourth and most important point is that when we pray for our church path, for our future path, God keeps showing us such needs in this region. We want to follow him closely, and we want to do what he wants us to do, follow Christ and be a disciple of the Lord. Thank you.
We would like to present a song, Amazing Grace.
Now I see. So we are all here by God's grace, and we worship Him. And it's grateful and thankful to be here. And well, my name is Jiezhang, and you can call me John. And I have been with Light of Life Church for 6 years now. I came to United States in 2014. And was baptized at the end of the same year. So I remember that I first got in touch with the church's Pastor Huang and his wife. So they gave me a ride from the airport. So it's very grateful and thankful. So I just see that God lead us to be in here and become such a person to before God. If a class of student ministry is a 3 years period, I have served two classes of students. I became a Christian and was trained in student fellowship. I saw that God led a lot of students to our fellowship. Although they all graduated, I left at the end. Well, the gospel has been planted in their hearts. I watched them grow up in fellowship, graduate, and live for different places in all over the world. Sometimes I wondered whether what we have done is worthwhile, since the numbers of our fellowship has not grow much. However, this is a characteristic of student ministry. We once went to an AFC conference and exchanged idea with others fellowship on the East Coast. We were surprised to find that the challenge faced by each fellowship were basically the same. The high fluidity of student. It's itself characteristic of student fellowships. The characteristic means that we cannot build a church with a growing population. The advantage of student fellowship are also particularly obvious. First of all, students are very receptive and capable of independent reasoning. They absorb knowledge of faith quickly. Even on certain deep topics. Second, the great fluidity of students. When we see such a vision, we realize that what we did is meaningful. I'll give you two examples here. We have a Peabody student. After putting faith in the Lord, he served in the Life Fellowship and the Light of Life, mainly in music ministry. But he was eager to be cultivated. He participated in discipleship training, fundamental truth training, and evangelism training. We really thank God for this. Now he graduated and went to Texas for a PhD. But he still joins us in our Life Fellowship gathering. We have a very good relationship with him, and he is willing to continue to serve in our music ministry. There's another student. She's in a doctor of biochemistry and works here in Johns Hopkins. She came to us last week, and she has been a Christian for 3 years. She said that well, she could not feel God's love and was eager to learn more about God. At that kind of period, so we kind of have this kind of struggles that what we are doing, what we can do for students. So it's kind of struggling and really think about it. And then God gave this kind of a particular issue or need to us. So it's very amazing. This is amazing grace, right? So she's desired to pursue the truth. So we decided to start discipleship training with her. And we see that student needs to be cultivated, need to be fed, and need to grow in truth. In the process of cultivating them, we are also cultivated by God and become faithfulness servants after God's own heart. God's constantly opening new paths so that we can have the opportunity to serve. Not only do we continue to be shaped by the gospel, but also become a blessing to others. Therefore, I encourage my brothers and sisters to see the importance of student ministry and see that the gospel is brought to other places through the flow of students and become blessings to the church. The church, we also benefit from student ministry because student ministry in the North America is a living ministry that passes on blessing. There will also be students who come to us because of work and become our blessing. Thank you.
Peace to brother, sister of the church. First, thanks for God's grace to let me be here. And thanks to Pastor Tong for invite us to share. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 23, it said, I have the right to do anything, you say. But not everything is beneficial. And verse 24, no one should seek their own good, but the good of others. Who can give this benefit to all human beings? Of course, there's no one except Jesus. God is love, and God is so good. Yes. Now how do we get his love, his goodness? John 17, verse 3 tells, the greatest benefit, the eternal life, can be only obtained through faith in Jesus Christ. Jesus died on the cross for everyone's sins. And he raised the third day and gives the benefit to those who trust in him. This shows the ultimate love for God. Love is not self-seeking. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 5. But good of others, so they may be saved. Chapter 10, verse 33. So we should... Get up. It didn't work. So we should not be so selfish to keep his love to ourselves, but to share his love with unbelievers. This is the heart of mission, and is in Christ's heart. The Light and Life is a church with a purpose of mission, or a missional church, or a church with characteristic of mission. Our main target, next slide. Next. Our main target is the Chinese student and scholar of Johns Hopkins University. We preach the gospel to them, lead them to the Lord, cultivate them, and equip them to become disciples. And they experience God's goodness and his love through participate in fellowships and church. Of course, they can also experience the power of the gospel and the renewal of their lives in their lives. And then we send them out. We train them to have the mission of making disciples of all nations, have the vision of planting churches, and become the light of the world to glorify God. We send. Because the fact is that we have to do this. Unless God intervenes, they will leave Baltimore after graduation. For example, maybe you know An Dingshen, the sister who's standing behind Lin Wang and Ci Liu. This is a picture in 2007, they hold the wedding here. And Dr. Liu is now the associate professor of Yale University. An Ding is a professor in Calvin College, Michigan. So learn that. So since September 15 of 2013, 51 people have been baptized, and 37 people left Baltimore. Only 15 stay here. So actually, there's three. They left because of COVID-19 pandemic. They're now in China to study online. Anyway, this is the picture they baptized in 2018. Anna and Qi Fan and Gongbo, they are now our co-workers. Joy Lee and Jin Sang, they're my class students. Li Qian, Qian Li, she's now at our church. And Xiao Meng, she's now in China. So, but praise the Lord. Brother Zhang mentioned Qi Fan. He's now, although he left Baltimore for Texas for his PhD, but he still goes online to participate in meetings and play the piano for a choir. So currently we have four people studying in the Capital or Lancaster LBC Theological Seminary. They are also the main co-worker of the Light of Life. From January next year, they're going to graduate. And these two family, they will commit themselves to serving in the Light of Life. The two brothers here who has been preaching and serving on Sundays, and they have already served as campus fellowship chairperson, leading songs, leading Bible study, and teaching Sunday school. John Stott, the late theologian, once talked about the four ways the Christian, how Christian as the salt and light can influence the world. The first, it says, is the Christian have the ability of praying as prayer. Second is the ability of the biblical truth, exegesis. The third is the ability to be an example, inheritance. And the fourth is the ability to unite and cooperate. That's God in love. In 1 Peter 2, verse 9, he says, but you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praise of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. The promise of the Bible is that it is more blessing, it's more blessed to give than to receive. So the greatest benefit to a person is to lead the person to the Lord. So therefore we plan, we have the following ministry principle of the Light on Life. First, pray persistently. We totally rely on the power of the Holy Spirit. Second, be a fisher of men. We show in the gospel is the power of the Lord. Three, we make disciples. We're going to implementing Dandelion project. You know, Dandelion, they the seeds in the air and they falling and they grow. Fourth one, store up the treasures in heaven. So we're using the money to make friends and helping others. This is financial stewardship. Number five, be a blessing to others. So giving is more blessed than receiving. And the main focus of discipleship are first, ability to interpret the Bible, second, ability to pray independently, third, ability to preach the gospel along by the Holy Spirit, through the Holy Spirit. Fourth, ability to influence others by example of life changing. Yes, the Light of Life plan to leave CGCB before the May of 2022 and become an independent Christian church. We need your prayers and support. Just pray that may our service and glorify his name and last for eternity. May God bless you all. But I would like to thank especially for those who in English ministry, for your helping in teaching English class and participating in English, our English Bible study. Thank you.